we continue our week-long series on the fine print of our lives on The Takeaway and what it says. We're going to take a closer look today at mortgages. And it seems like you can't turn on the radio or the TV or even watch clips online without hearing some of this.
Now is the perfect time to buy.
Affordability has improved and interest rates are still low.
For the first-time buyer, there's a tax credit.
Now is a great time to buy a new home.
8 out of 10 economists agree that home prices will rise in the next 5 years.
You're going to be glad you bought in.
That's what we're hearing, but is it actually such a good time to get into the real estate mortgage business, and are rates really as low as we're told? What does this all mean? Dan Green is going to sort it out for us. He's a loan officer at Waterstone Mortgage and author of themortgagereports.com, and he says we need to take a closer look before we leap. Right, Dan?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's funny. You listen to those ads, and they all say it's a great time to buy. Perhaps. I think a better way to couch that is, now is a good time to buy, just because it might not be as good later. You still have to determine whether or not it's still the right time for you.
Well, rates are low, and that's what they're talking about, but it's a little bit deceptive when they're talking about rates, because they quote low APR rates. What is an APR rate?
APR is a government calculation, and it's meant to determine the long-term cost of holding a loan, and it assumes that you're going to be in the place for 30 years. And so very few people do that. In fact, very few people even have a mortgage for longer than 4 or 5 years. So this APR calculation is based on a hypothesis that doesn't really apply to anybody.
And it's not the same as an interest rate.
No. The interest rate is the actual rate at which you're borrowing money. The APR is just a government calculation that's meant to simplify comparisons. Now, there's some companies that will tell you just look at APR for an apples-to-apples comparison. Those are companies that have generally learned how to work the system a little bit. You still want to be comparing your costs as it pertains to your specific time frame in the home.
Okay, we have a listener who called in with this particular comment.
We found, surprisingly, after signing our mortgage, that our fixed rate was only fixed rate for the home equity portion of the mortgage for anything that was borrowed after the initial amount. As it turns out, our bankers didn't realize this either, as repeated emails and phone calls all came back saying otherwise. And it wasn't until a year later when we finally were able to show them that our statements did, in fact, show that we did not have a floating rate, that they admitted that they had made a mistake, but the paperwork was the paperwork, and it was a fixed rate.
So that sounds like even the bankers themselves didn't read the fine print or understand it.
I can't ever comment on an individual loan. When you start getting into home equity lines of credit, home equity loans, those are generally products that are managed by local
banks. But the issue here is we're talking about details of loans that in this particular case, not only does the lender not understand it when he signs the papers, but sometimes maybe your mortgage officer doesn't know everything that's in those loan papers.
In the case of a second mortgage, like that caller, what generally happens is you'll have your primary loan, and that'll be done through a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac outlet, perhaps FHA. The home equity loan or home equity line of credit is something that's added on after the fact, and it's managed by a local bank. And it's possible that a loan officer doesn't understand all of the details because they tend to be complex products. But by and large, I think you'll find that as the mortgage market has gotten tighter and tighter, there's fewer and fewer options for first mortgages available, and there's less chance that your loan officer isn't going to get it.
Well, Dan Green, as a loan officer at Waterstone Mortgage, it seems like there's been a huge cultural shift between what goes on now and what was going on even as recently as like 5 years ago, 2 years ago maybe. Do you think, and this is part of why we're focusing on fine print all week long, do you think people have to be much more vigilant about what it is they're getting into and the issues of their own credit report and knowing exactly where they stand today to function in this real estate market? I can remember getting mortgages 5 years ago where I paid almost no attention to anything.
I think we've all been conditioned now to look a little bit more closely at those details. But the places where people still get wide-eyed is when they start looking for a deal. And, you know, as you mentioned about APR, people see low numbers and they think that that's a signal that it's time to buy or to do something. What's important to remember is that when you're being touted that interest rates are at all-time lows, what never comes along with that is what the associated costs are. And so when people focus on just rate and they ignore cost, you tend to get yourself in a situation that, you know, doesn't always end up the way you expect.
A lot of people are choosing to go with FHA loans from the Federal Housing Administration because of the restrictions you're talking about. They can't get loans from Fannie and Freddie. But we also have this other news saying that more than one in six FHA borrowers are behind and they are defaulting on their payments.
The FHA is an interesting animal. They're picking up market share by default. As Fannie and Freddie have tightened their guidelines, you know, they've done something kind of interesting. They are tightening up around the edges. They're making it harder to get approved, but they're also raising loan costs for people whose credit scores are below 740.
The fees.
Yeah, fees below 740. And that's a pretty high credit score. And so what's happening is anybody who is slightly at risk of defaulting is being moved to the FHA. And so the FHA's loan portfolio, they're very sound about their underwriting, but they're just getting a greater percentage of people that are considered high risk by Fannie and Freddie. It's only natural that the FHA pool is worsening, and that's exactly what we're seeing. That stat shows it.
Oh, well, hopefully people are reading carefully and seeing all those fees and looking before they leap. That's what the series about the life in the fine print is all about. Thanks so much. That's Dan Green. He's a loan officer at Waterstone Mortgage and author of themortgagereports.com. Tomorrow, our next installment of the series, Life in the Fine Print, we're going to talk about getting in and out of student loan debt.
And you can tell us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org. It's all about knowing where you stand and making sure you have the information you need and that the fine print is working for you rather than against you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.